I will also offer a welcome to Cornerstone. My name is Tim. I am one of the other pastors here at Cornerstone. You know what? Let's pray. Father, thanks for Matt. Lord, just the anointing you've put on him to connect us with the city here in Lebanon. Even, God, just an education and I think even concise education as to what's going on. And, God, being an agent for you to, Lord, to open our eyes and hearts, God, to what it is that you're doing here in the city and our role, our part as your kids. And so we just thank you for Matt and, God, the gifts that you've given him. And, Lord, we just want to continue to commit our time together today in your house to you, Lord, to give back to you, to give glory to you, and pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Something interesting happened this morning and would probably have been, it's kind of been going on over the last several weeks, but I actually have something that I was going to share with all of you that would be a continuation of what Pastor Jay has been going through the last couple of weeks, which would have been the Calling for Kingdom, which was 2 weeks ago, and Calling in Community, which was last week. But as we were worshiping this morning and singing, I'm not sure about you, but I could not help but to be overwhelmed with the songs as we're singing, "You Are Good, You Are Good," and the goodness of God. And I was actually thinking about the deacons over finance and building, as well as Dennis in particular. What I'm about to say is I think what needs to happen is there needs to be a shift in the direction that I thought we were going to be going this morning, which I think is just not ripe yet. I don't know how else to say it. But the other thing is for me to discern what it is that God is speaking to me personally and what he wants me to bring to you. So, back to Dennis and the deacons of finance and building, I think what we need to do is to take another offering or give another offering this morning. And it's probably not exactly what you think. Some of you might be thinking, I don't have anything left. What I would like us to do as a body is to speak of God's goodness and speak it corporately with one another and share that. And so that's why I pulled this thing up here. And Marcy, I will just ask you that if the batteries go dead on this, if we could just use one of these mics back here. You know, this probably would be considered, if you're new with us, if this is your first time here or relatively new, this is not maybe what a typical Sunday looks like. But then again, I guess is any Sunday typical? It's, you know, how God leads us. And thank you for, I agree. I certainly can relate things in my own life as far as God working and God's goodness. If you're in Christ, then you can speak of God's goodness because God continues to speak to you. He continues to work in your life, and whether that's through pain and hurt or whether that's through blessing that he brings that, you know, we're undeserved of. If you're not in Christ, then, and I don't know why these words came to my mind, but buckle up, because the testimonies of people, the people of God are incredible reflection of his goodness, and you can't argue with a transformed life. I want to share in opening this up, and if you're if you've been around small groups, you maybe have heard this verse. This is one that God really impressed upon me, and I guess in thinking about God calling us continually to walk out what it is we say we believe, that's what I believe this morning is. I'm reading out of Hebrews 10, and I will start in verse 23. You can turn there if you want, or you can just listen along because I might be done before you get there. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." And so the purpose then of this morning in giving another offering is giving an offering of God's goodness. And this might come through a testimony that you have and want to share of God's work in your life currently, or a verse of scripture that you want to share, or an offering of praise to God through prayer. So this here mic is open, and I'm going to ask you to come up here instead of me coming around to you. And there's something that I've always done in small groups, at least if we've been in a small group together. And I'll do some kind of interactive question, try to have each of us get to know one another better. And I always say, well, I'll go ahead and go first since I was the one who asked you to do this. There's a story that probably medically speaking might not seem that significant, but to me, I mean, I believe God healed me, and it would be one of the first like significant healings in my life. Some of you have heard this story. There's a small group of you who heard this story yesterday, the hospitality deacon team, except for Ben. So I'm going to share a testimony. I might share something else later. I'm not sure. He's just open to how the Spirit leads. Not to gross anyone out. My wife doesn't like feet. We moved here. This is a foot story. We moved here back in 2002. It would have been Father's Day weekend of 2002, so that was in June. And 2 months later, in August, I got a plantar's wart on my left foot. If you've ever had one, you know what I'm talking about. And if you haven't, I mean, I hope you don't have to know what I'm talking about. They're not that fun. It was the second one that I had. I had one earlier in life, probably back in high school or whatever, and I just took care of it on my own without describing what that is. It was not fun. But, you know, it was doable, and it was done over. So back in 2002, in August, I get another one and try to do the same thing, and it didn't work. This critter was, it was pretty rough. There was a lot of pain, and I just couldn't do it. So I tried all kinds of medical, you know, going to the doctor, from podiatrist to dermatologist to, you know, the freezer wand in the office, over-the-counter stuff. They didn't do the scalpel thing, which was good, but they did prescribe genital wart cream, which I had shared yesterday with the deacon team. I know. Imagine going to pick that up from the pharmacy. It's a very humbling experience. I mean, you can't even try to justify, you know. You just stand there and say thanks. So trying all of these things, really all that it did was just tame it. It allowed me to be able to, you know, bear it, I guess. And so, you know, what I kind of resigned myself to after all of these opportunities for treatment was just to bear it. And some of the language that I used when talking to God about it was a thorn. Not that, you know, I was ever Paul or knowing what a thorn in the flesh is, but, I mean, this thing was a reminder constantly, whether I was standing or sitting or whatever. I mean, it was a constant reminder. So, you know, for the last almost 7 years. Well, we went to Ohio, which is where my wife and I, our family is all from there. And that would have been about 4 weeks ago. And my son, Adam, actually had a wart on his third finger on the inside. So we purchased this stuff that was a dual treatment. And we used that, and his wart fell off in 3 days. And so I wasn't actually thinking, okay, I'll use this, and this will take care of the wart. I was just thinking, my foot is killing me, and I need to try to tame this thing again. So I'm going to use this stuff and, you know, at least have a little bit more comfort in standing, walking, whatever. So we go to Ohio. We take this thing with us because I want to make sure to use it. And like 2 days we were there, and usually have to try to have your skin soft, you know. So after a shower, I sit down, I turn my foot over, and I actually had three of them. I had one, the original one in 2002. 2005, I got another one under the bend in my big toe. And then in 2007, I got I just call it a satellite to the original one. So I had three of these things, and when I turned my foot over, all of them were gone. Which is what I was like, what? I mean, because my foot was just killing me, and the whole purpose of sitting down was to be able to treat these things. And, you know, normally you'd like notice something's changing. And so as I'm sitting there, like all these things start to churn. What in the world is God up to? Sometimes we could probably just say, well, because one doctor did tell me this, it's a virus, it'll work, it might take a month, it might take who knows how long. But there, symbolically speaking and spiritually speaking, I am convinced it was a healing, that I am healed. Secondly, I noticed or remembered that a day and a half before, the calf, my left calf, was just killing me. And I couldn't figure out why, and I was sitting there stretching it out, like pointing my toe to the sky, trying to stretch this thing out. And it didn't make sense then, but then when I saw what God had done in healing my foot, realized that what was happening is I'm learning to walk again. You know, because for 7 years almost, I had to shift my weight. I had to, like, walk on my heel, my left heel, and my left heel would even ache, not even walking on it, sometimes it would just ache. And so I have this picture of, okay, coming out to Pennsylvania in 2002, having this thing happen and having difficulty walking, not being able to walk rightly. And then going to Ohio for whatever reason, this season of life, and having this healing happen. And I think hearing God's ultimate message to me, it wasn't so much in that I wasn't walking right in obedience, per se, like, you know, lying or stealing or, you know, those kind of things, but more of my identity, who I am. And even this morning, God continues to speak that, because this is not me. I would not normally do something like this. I mean, I had, in fact, had Penny and Judy, they prayed over me this week, and one of the things that that Penny had prayed was just that, you know, I would be free to hear from the Lord and whatever it is that he wants to bring. And this morning, what I kept hearing was this offering, to bring this offering. And so God just continues to speak, being able to walk in my identity as a son. So share that to encourage you as God does work and invite you to come and share. I'm going to leave the mic open. This is our opportunity to encourage one another. So however God has been working, whether it's through an offering of praise or a testimony they want to share, I invite you to come up. And let me just make sure before you come up, Marcy, is this on?
I want to thank the Lord for what he did yesterday. I'm Kathy. We have an old washing machine, and different times we have trouble with it, and we call the people and they fix it, and so we've been able to keep it and not have to buy a new one. And it frustrates my husband, because he's the one who's got to deal with it, has to pay for it and all that. So yesterday, actually day before yesterday, we were doing wash, and it was filled up with water, and it went through the cycle, and it just wouldn't drain. And so I tried to, like, switch it to a different cycle, and it still wouldn't drain. And so John got home late. He worked, like, 14 hours on Friday, and I didn't want to bug him with it. I didn't want to burden him down, so I didn't say anything about it. And I'm thinking, well, maybe I can just call the washing machine guy and not let him know, and I'll just take care of it myself. But I knew that he would be upset if I did that, but I was just trying to alleviate him from the stress. And I just kept quiet. And then in the morning, he was going to do some wash. So he found out, because he's like, what's wrong with this water in here? So I explained to him, you know, yeah, it's not working. And he didn't flip out at all. He was really pretty calm about it, which I was really thankful. Not that he flips out, but, you know, he didn't get too upset. So I'm thinking, let's just call the people and have them come look at it. They're the professionals, you know. But I'm cooking. I didn't say anything. And he's like, he's messing with it and playing around. And I was really close to saying, why don't you just call? But I didn't, because I'm working on, you know, trying to be more patient. So all of a sudden, we hear it, like, doing what it's supposed to do and draining. He's like, wow, do you hear that? He fixed it. And I was like, wow, thank God. So we didn't have to go through the people and have to pay money, and he didn't get stressed out, and I learned I could trust him with these things. So I thank the Lord for that.
Good morning. I'm Angie, And this is my daughter, Lydia. I'm going to try to do this without crying. Last Saturday, Lydia started getting sick. Monday night, she started vomiting, and by Tuesday, she was like, she's very active normally, and by Tuesday, you would just sit her down on the floor, and she would just lay out. Like, she was, it scared me a lot. So Tuesday night, we went to the emergency room, and they told us that she was really dehydrated. So dehydrated that they couldn't get an IV in her. They tried five times. They stuck her, and her veins were too dry for them to get any fluid into her. Then they, as a last resort, did what they call an IO, where they drilled into her bone to try to put some fluid into her marrow. And that's how she felt about it. It was incredibly, incredibly painful as a parent. They got it in, but then it pulled out and started infiltrating into her leg. So her leg just got kind of like a sausage. Like, the skin was so tight because all this fluid had just been pumping into her leg. So they took it out, and they basically said, we don't know what else we can do. Just try to get some water. She was keeping water down, nothing else. They said, try to get some water in her. So we started giving her bottles with water, and they put us on observation. And then on all of our days have run together this week. I don't really know where I'm at this point. But on, I think, Wednesday morning, she started to seem a little bit better because she had kept some fluid down. And so they gave us some applesauce. They said, okay, so give her some applesauce. And in the meantime, a number of people came and prayed with us and just surrounded us with prayer. And I know that there were a lot of people who were not with us at the hospital, but also praying for her. On Thursday morning, they let her go. They really hadn't done anything medically for her. They said she should be okay. She stopped vomiting. We took her home, and she vomited twice when we took her home, was keeping nothing down, and was in the same position. So we took her up to the med center at 2 o'clock in the morning on Thursday, or I guess Friday morning. Would you like to say something? And they got an IV in her on the first try and pumped her full of fluid. And at 9:30, we got to take her home. And she is here today. And she is her old self. This morning she woke up, and she was loud. And she was playing, and she was talking a lot. And I don't know how people who don't have a faith to rest in can get through something like that, because it is very, very difficult. But I do want to thank God, because he certainly has healed our child. And we are so grateful for that.
Good morning. My name is Leonard, for those who don't know me, and a lot of you do know me. I've been going here for a number of years, and I thank God for the way he's leading you this morning, because I do prison ministry, and I'm going into the prison tonight and dealing with Paul's testimony. But my testimony today is concerning the faithfulness of God when you get tired. When you get tired of well-doing. See, I've been doing prison ministry for 5 to 6 years. And you go in there and you pour yourself out to these guys, and they go from here in Lebanon, and they go up to Camp Hill and wherever, And some of them, they give you a promise. They say, well, okay, yeah, I'll see you when I get out. And they do this, that, and the other. And some of the guys I've seen on the street, and they've gone back to their old ways. And when they see me coming by, they duck their head and they take off. But I thank God that there have been some men that have gotten out, and they literally stop by here. Some of you don't know it, but some guys that have made promises in jail to stop by here have been stopping by. And you have been ministering to them to the point as where they've been getting in touch with their wives, and their wives have been coming in, and some of their kids. I thank God that this morning he showed himself faithful, because there's a gentleman that came in today that had told me a while back that he would be in. And I didn't expect it, because a lot of guys say they're going to be in and they don't come. And this morning, this gentleman came in. Would you stand up? Would you do me a favor and stand up? This is one of the gentlemen. He and his family have stepped in today. And that blessed me because, like I said, sometimes you get tired of well-doing. You know God has you doing something, and sometimes you don't see a result. And sometimes the result you see makes you upset and you get tired and you don't want to do it anymore. Then all of a sudden God goes, here's a result. So don't give up and don't get tired.
I'm also from Lebanon County Correctional Facility. I spent 8 months there. I was a mean drug habit. Lost my kids, lost wife, lost everything. But I guess the Lord brought me to jail to tell me to wake up. I met a good guy in Leonard. He showed me. I talked to him. He got me going to go into church. I promised him I would go. I'm here. It was kind of weird because I talked to him and said, how do you know what church to pick? You know, I want a church that's going to grab me, because I didn't want to joke about this. I wanted to be real about it. Well, some kid on the street I haven't seen in years said, go to Cornerstone. I had no clue where this place was. I'm looking for a church all over the place. Couldn't find it. So it just so happened, so I came here. I finally found it, and the music was playing, and everybody's all nice. I'm like, I've never done this stuff before. I felt like, whoa, people shaking my hand, giving me hugs. I'm like, okay, I can get used to this. But since I've been having the Lord, reading the Bible, we had Bible studies when I was on the blocks, going to church. I was always afraid when I got out that it would all be a lie. But since I got out, I've been clean. I've been almost clean for a year now. I got my kids on the weekends now, and I never believed I'd be bringing them to church. And now my kids are excited about coming here, so thank you. And just want to say thank you, Lord, for blessing me with this church, and thank you guys for welcoming me into Cornerstone.
Good morning. I'm a little strung out on Vicodin, so I thought this was a perfect follow-up. I was in Montana for a week skiing and had a little accident the first day and cracked some ribs, so that's why I'm on Vicodin. I don't usually do this. But the first day we got there, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, where's the snow? I told my mom, I knew it. I would go out west. I waited 23 years to go out west. I would go out west and there'd be no snow. They were 100 inches under. So I text back to Pastor Jay, and I said, you know, if you guys think of it on Sunday, this was the 7th, so that would have been the 8th, pray for snow, you know, and half joking, half not, because I'm telling you, it's bare there. And when you know it, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they had snow showers. Now, snow showers here are like a five-moment, woohoo, gone. Their snow showers start in the morning and last all day, and we can get like 5 inches. So we've probably had, I don't know, maybe a little over a foot of snow, fresh powder, the whole works. But it's really hard to ski with cracked ribs. But I went out anyway, and Wednesday was pretty rough. But Friday, the sun was out. It was gorgeous. It was just beautiful. And I wanted to go to the very top, the tip. You can take a tram up. And it was the last day, and we weren't supposed to be skiing on that side. And I think honesty is the best policy. So I got up to the top. We were supposed to work our way over to what's called Moonlight Basin. And I said to the gentleman, we're not supposed to be on this side. You have to go up on one side and work your way over. And I said, but I believe in honesty. I said, I'd really like to go to the top and get some pictures. And he said, oh, sure, no problem. And another guy skied up and said, well, you know, I'll take you to the top. God is amazing. You know, Lebanon is beautiful. We have beautiful places. Yeah. But you get up there, and it's breathtaking to see God's work. And at the very top, you can do like a 360, and you just see, and you see, and you see. And I don't know. I must have been up there for an hour. It was 4 degrees that morning, and yet I didn't have my gloves on. I didn't have my coat on. I wasn't on Vicodin yet. I didn't get that till last night. But I felt no pain. I was on Advil. But it was breathtaking. Skied back around, got over to Moonlight Basin, and I thought, you know, I've had my fill. And you'd ski around the corner, and you would see something else. And I thought, okay, I've had my fill. And you'd ski around another corner, and you couldn't get enough of God's beauty. It was just everywhere you turned, there was more and more and more and more. And I thought, my gosh. You get down to the bottom, and I pull into their cafe over there, and I get in there, and there's stained glass windows. They must have come from an old church. I haven't gotten the whole story yet of that, but... the other thing I wanted to mention, too, is that I really missed home. I text messaged back, and I said, I'm actually homesick. I'm homesick for my family, and I'm homesick for my church family. We had a gathering that night. There was like 33 of us. And what I asked you to pray for is community. You know, we're very blessed here that we have community, and I'm very excited to be back home. People say that Lebanon, there's not much here. There is, and it's not just our church. There's other communities of believers. But there's also a lot of folks out there that don't have what we have and some other churches have. And I could see that in the room that we were in. I could see people that are just empty. So I just ask that you pray for them to find a community close by, or whether the folks are in Montana looking for a community like ours. We're really blessed. And I thank you all. Thanks for praying.
Sometimes I just get this word like burning in my chest. I just had to run up here. just after what Yvonne shared. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus is doing all these miracles and like healing people just like right there. Bam, these people are all watching this. And he's telling these people to be quiet. And all they can keep saying is, everything he does is wonderful. And they can't keep their mouths shut because everything he does is wonderful. And I think it would be really cool if we all say that together. That everything he does is wonderful. Say it again. Everything he does is wonderful. One more time. Everything he does.
Don't like to do this, but I'm feeling like I really have to do it. You hit home, man, and thanks for coming, you too. And I'd like to be involved in that prison ministry if I could, but God has brought me real far. I mean, from where I I was put it this way. I lived here when I was younger, got into drugs when I was 14, 15 years old, and just basically didn't care, didn't have faith. My family was kind of crazy. My dad adopted me when I was real young. He's Jewish. My mother, we were going to a Catholic church, so was a cashew. That's what they called me, Catholic Jew. But so I learned that's a horrible joke. So I mean, I learned a lot about Judaism, and I was really confused as far as where I fit in. I'm half black, so my family was, and I grew up in an all white family in Myerstown, and it was horrible as far as prejudice and everything else. But so got into the drugs even heavier as I got older and moved into Baltimore City. Was really involved in the rave scene down there and got into drugs real heavily, selling drugs, doing drugs. And I've said drugs enough, haven't I? You know I was into drugs. I mean, living on the streets in the worst sections of town that you could live in. And I'm here. I mean, I'm here. I'm married to a woman that was also a heroin addict. We're both clean. We have beautiful children. We have a house. I've been through the jail, and I just can't believe where we've come from and where we ended up. And I mean, we are seriously blessed, and I am grateful every single day what God has done in our lives. And I mean, just keep doing what you're doing, man, because it's all, I mean, literally. And I never really knew what true happiness and just real gratitude. I was a punk, you know what I mean? Didn't care about anything or anybody except for myself, and I'm still working on that too. But I'm just happy. I love my family, and I'm blessed. That's what I just wanted to share.
I have to thank the gentleman that came before me, because I don't want to be standing here either. My story's similar to his. God has been in my life from day one, I believe. He was with me through being born into an extremely dysfunctional family. He was with me through a childhood growing up in the Lebanon County foster care system. He was with me through all of the abuse, physical, emotional, sexual. And then he was with me through 17 years of drug and alcohol addiction. I was incarcerated numerous times. I had 5 DUIs before I finally quit. And God was with me October 22nd of 1991 when I cried out to him, literally screamed out to him. I was in the detox ward at the Lebanon VA hospital for I don't know how many times I'd been there before. I'd been through 2 full-blown rehabs, detoxes. And I screamed out to him. I was scared. I was angry. And I was scared. I knew that at that point in my life, if I didn't get sober, I was probably going to die a drunk. At that time, my 18-year-old son was about 10 months old, and I really didn't have much to do with his life up until that point because I was a drunk. And God heard my prayer. Although I didn't know that he heard me, but he heard me, and I have not had a drink or a drug since October 22nd of 1991. Thank God. And the redemptive work that he's been doing in my life just keeps going on. It just blows me away. I know nothing about being a parent, yet I am. My 18-year-old son lives with me. I have a 3-month-old son. I have a beautiful wife. I have 2 neat nephews sitting over here. I have a beautiful home. I have a good job. I have everything that a man could possibly want and more. And yet I know that my history, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve what I have. And I don't say that in a negative way. I just say that as a fact. If life were fair, I would not be here. I would be dead. It's only because God is good. God is great. God is awesome. God does things that I can't do, that you can't do. If you are suffering from addiction, God can save you. And God can put you in touch with the people that you need to teach you how to live sober and how to live clean. I didn't do this alone. I did this with the help of Alcoholics Anonymous. I did this with the help of thousands of people. I do this today with the help of my wife and my church and my friends and, everybody in my life. I don't do anything alone. I'm not capable. I know what I'm capable of doing alone, and I don't want to do that anymore. I just thank God for bringing me here, bringing me to Cornerstone about 13 years ago, bringing me to Christ. I believe it was in 2000. There's a couple guys that were with me that are here. It was at a Promise Keepers convention. It's just been an amazing journey. I don't have time to stand here and tell you all the details, just that God is good, and I'm living proof of that. Thanks.
Hi, my name's Louisa. I just wanted to read you a scripture, Psalm 116. I just feel like it goes with what we're talking about this morning. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me, and I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me.
I have to say, 10 minutes ago, I had no intentions of coming up here, but after I hear everyone, I just can't sit down to praise God, because 7 weeks ago, I had a little girl, and since then, my husband and I had plans that I wasn't going to go back to work, and we've definitely had the challenge of being able to pay our bills, and I think every time we think we're not going to be able to pay one, God's provided. And I also, if anyone who does know me, I have a huge love for horses and children, and I run my own business. I teach kids riding, and I just thank him for blessing that business, and I just, everyone that we know, the parents of our kids, and they just have constantly tell me that we're doing something so amazing, and that they're grateful to the impact that I have on those kids, and I look at that as a really special thing, and I just thank God for the way I love kids and just giving me the gift that I have.
I have two things, and this is really cool. I walked in this morning before worship practice, and I heard God say Micah 6:8. And so I was just praying through the three parts of that verse. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And it's pretty clear this morning that all three of those things have been extremely present with Matt and the justice and the need for justice in Lebanon. With this, with all the ex-drug addicts and prisoners in here, what Tony was talking about, humbling himself, where everything he does is with people, walking humbly with God, and the mercy, just of God's mercy, is crazy. And I want to thank God especially for his goodness, most importantly in my life. I get to marry Julie Blake in 4 months. And she's my best friend. And I've lived with her in 3 states just as friends. And God has kept us pure. And that's incredible, and that's by his grace. And I love her more than anyone else. So I just want to thank God for that. Yeah.
This is what I keep hearing today. Life was in him, and that life was the light of men. And that light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it.
I tend to fall very easily into judging other churches. It's very easy for me to do that. And I left the one I was at and came here around Easter time and followed all the proper, like, honoring authority and everything, except that in my heart I think was still a very judgmental attitude towards my old church. And it really hit me a few weeks ago. I don't remember which pastor said it, but somebody said something about not harboring bitterness towards other churches, especially if you're coming out of one to come here. And so that really hit home, and it was really cool. I said to God that day, I was like, I would like that in my heart to change. And over the past few weeks, I've come into contact with 8 or 9 of the people who had been my closest friends at my old church, and I never come into contact with them, even though we don't live very far apart. We just don't cross paths. And our paths have crossed, 8 or 9 of them, over the past few weeks, and it's been really, really great, and there have been a lot of reconciliation of relationships and just some really positive experiences. And one of them is one you can all enjoy, too, on 8th Street. You know how there was I don't know if it was called the Market Cafe or what, but it was the cafe where the Wicca exhibit was, and we all, you know, prayed over it and had that worship service. Well, a couple from my church that I came out of has bought it, and they're believers, and they love Jesus. And I remember saying when they bought it, I was like, oh, I wonder what my old church is going to do on 8th Street. And I had that judgmental attitude. And I was just there this week, and I found out that one of my best friends that I grew up with is now working there. She's from that old church, too. And, like, you can feel Jesus when you go in there, and it's really beautiful. And so I just wanted to praise God for both that reconciliation, and also that's another bright spot on 8th Street now where he's working. So.
Let's just continue worship, and I'll invite the worship team to come on up. And as they come up, John, well, you can close out our time of sharing, at least for today. It doesn't have to stop.
I'm one that would rather not be up here, too. As I was just sitting and listening to the different testimonies, I grew up in a home where I didn't even know God existed, and went through the whole thing, maybe, you know, to drugs and alcohol from 16 to 26, and just, never heard of Jesus Christ, and believe it or not, in America. I was 26 years old, had never heard of Jesus, and I think back to what I was. I've been a Christian since 1985. I haven't had a drink or a drug since November 4th, 1985. And you know, it's been a struggle. You know, I deal with some issues in my personal life with anger and different things. But you know, I'm clean. And I was just thinking, last week I've been at this job I've been at. I've been there for 3 years now, and last week I was sitting, they do a yearly review, and I was sitting with my two bosses, And I just had to think, you know, before I got saved, I was getting to a point in my life where I didn't care about anything. I didn't care about being responsible to anything. I just didn't care. And I sat there last week, and my bosses had nothing but praise for the job that I do. And they even said to me, "We wish we could clone about 70 of you." And I just had to think, you know, it's not me. I wouldn't be doing this on my own. I wouldn't care, you know. But it's because of God and because of Jesus Christ and because of His goodness. And, you know, my parents had a terrible marriage. They divorced when I was 16 years old. And believe it or not, I was actually happy they got divorced, because I just couldn't stand my dad and wanted to get away from him. I never wanted to be married. My wife and I have been married 20 years this September. And it's just the grace of God. God is just so amazing. You know, I think He can take someone like me that didn't even know Him, didn't even care. I remember I used to work around a Christian man, and I used to do everything I could just to get him mad, purposely try to get him mad, purposely try to get him upset, you know, just to see how he'd respond. But I saw in my heart, I knew that there was something different about this man. And I was the type of person, I was always so just quiet and shy and backwards, and I would never ask him about it. And I'm going to encourage, you know, I thank you for all these testimonies. My wife and I do a Bible study in a secular drug and alcohol rehab every Monday night for 5 years. We've been doing this, and you know, I know how you feel, Leonard. There's times I just feel like, why am I doing this? But this has been so encouraging today. You know, and to know, it's a joy to see it's the Word of God that touches people's hearts and lives, you know. And the Word of God just touches them and brings them. And, you know, people shared that with me, and God just brought it to fruition in my life, you know. Like I said, I never said anything to this Christian man that I was working around, but deep in my heart I knew. Why? I've never seen anyone like this that goes out of his way to help people. Why does he care about other people? Because I was used to the world where all you care about is me. And what's in it for me? And what am I going to get out of it? And this man was so different. And deep in my heart, I knew there's something different about this man. And 2 years, 2 years after I worked that job, I left that job. And 2 years later, I got saved. And 3 weeks after I was a Christian, I felt the Holy Spirit telling me to go back to that business, and I had no idea if the man was still working there or not. And I had been told by people in that place that he had been an alcoholic. This man, this Christian man that I was working around, had been an alcoholic. I didn't know him as an alcoholic. I only knew him as a believer, as a Christian. 3 weeks after I became a Christian, the Holy Spirit impressed so deeply on me to go out to that place of business. It was a 24-hour truck stop. To go there, and I had no idea if he was still working there or not. And I went, and sure enough, 11:30 at night, I had been at a worship gathering, and I go there, and there he is. And I got to tell him that I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And his exact words to me were, this is a man that was an alcoholic, his exact words were, I thought you were hopeless. And I said, there's no such thing as no hope with God. So I want to encourage you. You know, maybe you are a Christian and you're like me where you're struggling. You know, you're still dealing. The drugs and alcohol, to me, it's like, you know, that was the easy part. Now I'm dealing with all the junk inside, all the bad attitudes and all that kind of junk and stuff that was pressed upon me, you know, by my father, my parents, and I'm still weeding my way through that, and I, you know, covet your prayers for that. But, you know, keep going. And God's love is so amazing. I can't believe that I'm actually standing here. And I just thank God so much for His goodness. And I thank God, Tim, for you doing this. This is so encouraging to me to hear all these testimonies of God's goodness. Last week at work, Friday, I was at work, and I drive what they call a box truck, a pretty big straight truck. They call it, deliver food. And I was in a situation where I had to back into a business, and it was a pretty hairy situation. Well, just to make a long story short, I almost backed into a pickup truck. I didn't see it because I had some stuff in front of me that I had to look out for. And just at the last possible moment, I happened to look in my mirror and I saw this, like, a pretty new pickup truck sitting there, and hit the brakes and just missed it. And that's just God's, because I could have been, you know, it would not have been good if that would have happened. You know, and I just know that that was God's mercy and God's goodness. Just God is so good. And I just thank him for that.